And I'm glad we did, because we're not going to finish this. So,
but yeah,
that was great. That was great. Actually, Lynette and I want to take you and DJ to lunch today, and it'll be our treat, and whoever wants to come with you. Now,
like whoever?
No. Whoever's in Ashley's family. You know, it'd be really easy to stand up here and talk about the resurrection, because you're going to hear that when you get in the deal. Christ is alive. But here's the thing I put on Facebook today. The cross is bare, the tomb is empty, the throne is occupied. But the second thing I put on was this. People spend today, okay, talking about how he's alive. The Christian lives every day because he's alive. He's alive in us every single day, okay? So it's all about glory. That's what we're talking about today. Praise be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The resurrection is what makes the difference. It's the difference between everything. You go to every other religious person's grave, they're dead, they're there. Jesus is risen from the dead. Into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, fade away in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. But it gets down to this. You can know all that in your head. But until you come to that place where you've confessed your sin to God, not, okay, forgive me all of my sin. No, Lord Jesus, you are the only way to heaven. I have sinned against you. You died on the cross, not for the world, for me. I'm inviting you into my heart to be my Savior. Now, I want to spend the rest of my life training to walk like you, talk like you, act like you. That's Christianity. Everything else is just a bunch of religious talk. That's Christianity. Now, follow me. In this you greatly rejoice. Now for a little while you may have to suffer grief of all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith is greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine. So the testing that you go through life is for God to see and to test you, is your faith genuine? Or do you only have a faith that works when everything's going the way you want? Sometimes life gets hard. And God is testing us to prove, is our faith in Christ really genuine? By the way, for all of you who prayed for my shoulder, thank you. The pain went away. Amen. Played golf 3 times this week. Wow. I'm getting it back, buddy. I had it even on the back nine the other day. Now, and may result in praise, glory, and honor to when Jesus Christ is revealed. Okay? Though you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your soul. Now, follow along with me. There's one thing all believers have in common, and the path of glory leads to what? Leads to the grave. Everyone's going to die, except Christians. We're going to be alive. Except lost people, they're going to be alive. But it's where are you going to be spending that time? Because once to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord, you know what? The grave awaits everyone. Now, what happens after that is going to be determined by your faith and trust in Christ the Savior. Man's glory is so temporal, it does not last, but God's glory is eternal. He has offered that glory to us. Not just to know him, but watch this. He has offered you today the opportunity for the Son of God to live his life out through you the rest of your life. Think about that. Think about that. He has offered for you that the Son of God can live his life out through you the rest of your life. Now, my question gets down to this. We talk about glory, but this has been really a theme of my own life. Can God trust you with his glory? Will you be trustworthy enough to let him live his life out through you to where people will see Christ in you, and it will also change your family's life. We got to lead my mom and my mean stepdad to the Lord. My sister got saved. My brothers got saved. All coming out of what? God doing something in my life 42 years ago. 42 years ago. Now, four things about glory. Christians were what? Born for glory. God knows who's going to believe and who's going to trust and who's going to cling to Him. We are born for glory. You have been born again, chosen by God. Okay? You have been born again, chosen by God. For what? What's the purpose? What's the purpose? Bigger than that.
Solomon said it in Ecclesiastes. This is the whole duty of man. Praise God and obey His commandments.
Gary, you got one right.
Wow.
The whole gist of all this is for you to show off God. I mean, that's what it's about. It's about showing off God. This morning, this whole thing, having you stand up here, all we did was we showed off God. You know, we showed off God. When you get with your ladies next week, you're going to show off God. I mean, that's really what it's about. So what is the glory of God? Here it is. The glory of God is the sum total of all that God is and does. So everything that God does is characterized by glory. Okay? Glory kind of means this. It's who God is. He is glory. Now, to understand this, here's your fill-in. Glory is not a separate attribute or characteristic of God. As like, God is holy, that's a characteristic. He's wise, He's merciful. No, God is glory. That's it. He's glorious in His wisdom and power. Glory is what? It's God's DNA. God is glory. Now, Psalms 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. The law, look at these words. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of God are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving life to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure. Look at these words about Him. Now, take that picture of all those words and realize that can be manifested in us today. Every one of those words. The lost man separated cannot understand this. As much as he'd want to try to understand this. Let me add to that. And this is going to throw some of you off. I believe our mind and senses can experience the creation of God, yet not know the glory of God. You can experience the creation and not know God's glory. Watch this. You can be saved and miss the glory of God. What's that look like, Mark? You can be saved and miss the glory of God. You know something? When I know Christ lives in my heart and I disobey Him and I do it consistently, I really do miss the glory of God. If I'm living my life where I'm the center of life, then I've missed the glory of God because I'm not revealing who God is. You know what we do? We reveal who we are. We reveal who our flesh is. And it made me stop and say this. Where does the flesh, I got this in my head this morning, where does the flesh and the resurrection have something in common? The answer is always Jesus. That's true. The resurrection. He was dead 3 days. He rose back up. I come to God with tears in my eyes. I cry. I want to put my flesh to death. And within 3 days, it's right back to where it was. And my flesh is dictating my life again. It takes about 3 days.
No, it's usually faster than that.
For you, but most of us can hold out 3 days. Now,
they don't glorify the family's name. So the father
and the mother for that matter, but the head of the household, looks at them and says, well, they're still my kids. I still love them. They're still a part of it. You'll still bring them in your home. You still love them. You still care about them because they do support the family in that way. But in a fleshly way, they're kind of over there. You really don't have that. But then you have another child that will do anything for you, is there for you, and really, quote, glorifies the family name. That might be an example of what we can see that would really say you would, and you would have, you would probably, I'm not going to say, because this is not to say prosperity, but you would be, you would do more for that child that is going to glorify you with what they do. In other words, you'd be there for them.
Well, there's more blessings involved when the obedience comes in. When Andrew turned 16 and we gave him his car keys, basically we said this, your name is Layden, that name means something. And you better remember that name means something. Your name is Christian. That name means something. Okay, now, the works of man that are done to glorify God will one day be rewarded. Now, I don't think we do what we do to get rewards. I don't do what I do because I'm going to one day get a reward. I know whatever rewards come my way, I'm going to lay them down at His feet one day. I mean, I'm not looking for a reward. My reward is knowing that God lives in my heart and I'm doing my best to let Him manifest Himself in my life even when I'm at my worst. Even when I'm at my worst. But we're going to be rewarded. The funny part is most Christians and all lost people, you live the 80 years you're going to be here as though that's the end of all end-alls. Tiger Woods made a great comeback. We're all excited in the golf world for that because you know something? It's a great achievement what he did. He is worth $750 million. Not to anyone because once he's gone, someone else is going to get it. Someone else is going to get it. Now, there used to be a book out, okay? And we would look up history stuff in this book. Can anyone remember what it was called? Encyclopedia. I learned how to spell it. You say how? Jiminy Cricket. Yeah. It's the Encyclopedia. E-N-C-Y-C-L-O-P-E-D-I-A. It's the Encyclopedia. If you want to know the answer, this is the way. Just look inside this book and you will see everything you need from A to Z. It's the Encyclopedia. How can I remember this and I can't know where I put my keys? Peter gives two descriptions to help us better understand the truth and glory. First of all, he describes the Christian birth. You are chosen by God. It's a foreknowledge. Now, those who believe understand this. It's either God chose you or God gives you the opportunity to be saved. And you know what? I'm not going to get into Calvinism and the other stuff today, but I'm going to say this. The salvation offered before the world was put into existence was not based on what we have done because we were not even a thought yet. It was not based on God's foreknowledge for all the sin that would be committed. No, it was based wholly on the grace and the love of God. It is a gift from God, and that gift must be received. To as many as receive Him, to them He gives the power to become the children of God. It's not a gift until you what? Take it. Until you take it. Okay? Now, this is really good. Foreknowledge does not suggest that God merely knew ahead of time that we would believe. It means that He set His love upon a person or persons in a personal way. In other words, the foreknowledge of God was saying what? My love and mercy is available and I'm giving it to you. That's not universalism where everyone's going to heaven. It's to all those who receive this gift from God. Peter would go on to say that salvation is not just God's love, but it's also this. It is the Spirit of God living inside of us, bringing us not only into faith, but the Spirit of God in us convicts us of sin. But you know what else it convicts us of? The Spirit of God in us also convicts us of righteousness. I know in my heart I'm righteous and holy. I don't always act that way. I'm being something I'm not. Because we are righteous and holy in God's sight, I have the ability to be what God says about me. Okay? We have been chosen by the Father. Watch this. Purchased by the Son. Set apart by the Spirit. It takes all three to be saved. Let me say those words again. Chosen, set apart, purchased. And those three words are key words in the life of a believer. Okay? Now, some see election that man had no choice. Some see election as God knowing who's going to be saved. But it gets down to this. Whether God chose me or by faith, I responded to God's calling me to truth. The whole point is this. The calling came this way. God offered truth. And we believe the truth. That word believe means trust in, cling to, rely on the truth. And the truth is what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me.
Harry, can you say what you said before about chosen, set apart, and purchased?
Some see election as man had a choice, had no choice before that.
Yeah. Chosen by the Father, set apart by the Father.
Yeah. Chosen, we're chosen by the Father, we're set apart by the cross, okay, and we're purchased, we're set apart and we're purchased. We're purchased by what? Yeah. Chosen, set apart, purchased, okay? The key words in the believer's life. Set apart, chosen, set apart, purchased, okay? Well, is it election? Did God choose us or do we choose Him? And here's what I have to say about that. Yes. Did God elect us? Yes. Did we have a choice? Yes. You say, well, that's a contradiction. They're contrary. No. Because here's the truth for me. It's not how I got there. It's what am I going to do with it. It's not how I got there. Because whether God chose me and I responded to the Spirit and got saved, or whether God gave me a choice, either way, I have been saved by grace through faith. And now that I'm saved by grace through faith, what are you going to do with it? That's what has to matter for us right now. You know, we can't live this indifferent life. We have to understand He has set us apart to become like Christ, to share the gospel, and to live out a holy life. That's what He set us apart to do. We are here to show off God. And if you're not a Christian, you're just showing off whatever it is, the best you have to offer anybody. And for most of you, that always comes short. You're never going to be happy. Now, He describes the Christian hope. I already shared you, we know that it's a living hope. Okay, it's a hope. What's this hope grounded on? The Word of God, the promises of God. This hope is not dead, but alive. We celebrate being alive. But again, it's like I said earlier, the world comes to church on Easter and they celebrate being alive. Christ is alive. But is he alive in you? I mean, is He really alive in you? And if He's not, what are you going to do with that? I mean, if you walk out, if you go to church twice a year, and I always say this to people who come Easter and Christmas, you know, don't you ever wonder what we do around here the other 50 weeks? I mean, there's 50 other weeks here. Don't you ever wonder what we're doing around here? You know? They come and he goes, hey, he said that last time I was here. Well, and Easter Sunday, one of these Easter Sundays, we ought to preach something different than it's Easter and Jesus is alive, just for all those people, not to throw them off. They think we only have one sermon. It's like the guys I play golf with. They said, no wonder why you play good. You only work one day a week. In my case, that was right. Now, three things about our hope. Peter called it an inheritance. We're in the will. The last will and testament has already been written. There's going to be a reward for our lives. Whatever that reward's going to be, we're going to lay it down at his feet. He tells us this hope in inheritance is incorruptible. Nothing can ruin it. Nothing can take it away. It's not subject to death. It's not subject to decay. He tells us it's undefiled. It cannot be stained or cheapened in any way. It never grows old. It's not eternal. There's hope all the time. It's never going to disappoint us. You say, what does that mean? I think it means this. His love never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out on me. His love never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out on me. His love never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out. Hey, blow to that one, buddy. God's love for us is pure. We were cleansed by the blood of Jesus. We are made perfectly pure, white as snow. It never grows old because it's eternal. It doesn't wear out, and it does not disappoint. Now, I get stuck on that one. You say, what do you mean? You know, sometimes life's hard. But I get stuck this way. I'm constantly disappointing God. It says it never disappoints. Well, I'm disappointing to him. Because we don't always see the whole picture. Even the hard times are to what? Remove all the cheap impurities in our lives. The hard times are designed to test and to grow your faith. Does God have permission to stretch your faith? Can he stretch your faith? Now we say, oh yes, until it gets what? Stretched. Until it gets stretched. By the way, you ought to see the remodeling stuff he does. He did a table for my kids. That sucker was heavy. And getting it in the house took four guys. And I hope those guys didn't get hurt doing all that. Because I wasn't picking that thing up. Hope here tells us we're going to have new bodies. Amen. Praise God, huh? Now, I don't know about you all, but in the next 10 years or so, I'm going to eject this earth suit. Yeah, but you've been mean this week. I'm ready to go home. I'm just teasing. Now. Why? You'll do fine. Look at a kingdom I've built for you. You know, when the market crashed in 2008, I came home and I said, okay, we lost half of our retirement today. Shows what's that mean? Now we only have 3 months to live on instead of six. All right, let me get back on this quick, okay? Paul calls it the blessed hope in Titus. Peter says the hope is the appearing of Christ and his return. When we were born again, we exchanged the passing glory of man for eternal life in God. If you're not a Christian and you're here today, all you have is the passing glory of man. Whatever it is you did for 80 years is going to come up short, and God's going to say, depart from me, I don't know you. But Jesus says this, I'm offering you eternal life today. I'm offering you a life that can not only change you, but take you through a journey to take you from Margaritaville to a mansion. Ooh, that rhymed. I think I'm going to interview you one day. She could drink most men under the table before she got saved. Now.
Yep.
Number two, Christians are kept for glory. Not only is glory reserved for us, it keeps us until he returns. Have you ever had a reservation for a car or a hotel and you got there and they lost the reservation? Did you ever see the Steinfeld thing where he made a reservation for a car and he got there and they said, we don't have any full-size cars, we only have the little, what do they call the little ones? Compact cars. He goes, but I have a reservation for a full-size car. She goes, I know, but we don't have any of those cars. He goes, I don't think you understand the principle of reservation. Reservation means the car will be there for you. That's a reservation. You know, what you say is a hope so. We hope that car. No, I have a reservation. And not for us in heaven. We have a reservation. Then they said, do you want insurance on the little car? He goes, yes, because I plan to beat the poo out of this, but he didn't say poo. Now, according to Peter, we are kept. We are guarded. We are shielded by the power of God. It's the power of God that saved us. It's the power of God that keeps us saved. It's the power of God that gets done in us. It's a constant thing. The power of God is working in us and through us every day. Christ's power will guide us, will guard us and guide us into eternity. So if you're saved by grace and power and kept by power, how can you lose that? You can't. You say, well, what if I don't end up in heaven? Because you never had it. You trusted your own wisdom and your own power. Number three, Christians are prepared for glory. He prepares us daily for his service, for service to come. We have jobs we're going to do in heaven. Life today for believers is a school preparing us and training us for how we're going to serve God in the future, and whatever that is. So I want to do this real quick. I got 5 minutes. Four facts about the trials of life. Number one, trials meet needs. They come to meet the areas of discipline, not just correction. I'm talking about discipline. It brings spiritual growth, and it keeps us from sinning. I don't know about you all, but somehow during the week, usually right around Wednesday, I start realizing I've got to teach on Sunday. So you know what? I got to get my heart right now. So I only take Mondays and Tuesdays off to be carnal. Come Wednesday, I'm really focused. Now this week, I got to go all the way to Monday. So this strained me a little bit. I got to go all the way to Monday. I got to speak Monday night. So you know what? I've had to stay what this week? Focused. And the enemy attacks the hardest when you have to stay focused. But God gives the power to what? Stay focused. He gives us the power to stay focused. Trials are varied. My needs may not be yours. Us not being to play golf is a big test for us. You know, you two not being able to play golf is what? More shopping time. You know, more changing our hair colors to be twins again. You know, whatever.
They're just covering gray.
You know, now if you were pregnant again, you'd look like twinsies again. Now, trials are not easy. Peter's not preaching have a careless attitude toward trials. Trials produce heaviness. It means to experience grief and pain. It's a picture of the cross. Okay? Sometimes trials are hard. Don't put on a brave front so folks will think you're spiritual. When it's grieving time, grieve. When it's testing time, watch. Get your heart fixed on God and the power of God. Trials are controlled by God. I love Chuck Swindoll here. He said, when you're in the fires of life, God's eye is on the clock and his hand is on the thermostat. When you rebel, God may have to reset the clock. Our problem is sometimes we want to take people out of the fires of life when they're not done. I have people that I'm counseling right now, their parents are jumping in and they're removing these people from the fires of life. And you know what? They're not helping their own kids. Because sometimes you just have to go through. So final thought real quick. Learn the lessons that trials bring so that God can and will be glorified in and through us. God has given us victory. Listen to this. God has given us victory. Why does it take so long to enjoy it? Final thought here. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, okay, life on earth ought to be an enjoyment. I don't know about y'all. I don't know what heaven's going to be like because I'm enjoying the fire out of life. I enjoy life. Whether it's a hideaway pizza or a custard at Freddy's afterwards. We had pizza last night with the Masons. I said, hey, I read that custard helps the healing of the shoulder. I need some medicine. I need a little medicine. You know what? You got to learn to enjoy God. You need to learn how to let God love you. You got to learn how to enjoy God. And watch this. This week was our anniversary. 32 years. 31 happily. That first year was a little rough. I have not had 10 men get in my face in my lifetime.